are back. I have in the studio with me Lindsay Howell and Jason. Let's put you on. We are going to put you on mic number. What number is that?
Three.
Thank you. You're on number three.
Thanks.
There you go. All right. So I have Lindsay Howell and Jason Wagner here with me. Hi, guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good afternoon.
Wonderful.
Good. So we're trying to get Jason's music pulled up right now, so we're just going to chat while we do that.
And blame Max.
Yeah, blame the Max.
And blame the Mac.
I thought you were calling Joel
Max. You know, we could do it in Adobe Audition here. That'd be simple. While Joel is helping us out with the technical end of things, we'll just introduce yourselves a little bit. Lindsay is one of our board members. You've been on the board now for...
Going on 4 years, I think. I joined in probably the fall of 2012.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's hard to believe that was 4 years ago already.
I know.
And Jason helps us out with, you've helped us out with a lot of events. Bear Crawl, Run the Rock. Mm-hmm. You've helped us out with a few IT issues, except when it has to do with the Mac.
and you know, that's just part of being, you know, in a relationship with someone else who's so closely attached to KMXT. You know, you sort of come in and...
Yep.
I think the most recent one was White Winter Twang.
Yep.
I was out there checking
right.
the door.
Oh, that's right. You guys were checking the door.
And he takes that job very seriously.
Oh, I know. He does. It's pretty amusing, actually, to see, there's Jason at the door.
And that, you know, that's the thing Cece was mentioning, is there's lots of ways to contribute. You know, monetarily, of course, is a really obvious way mm-hmm. to support. But, you know, if you got 2 hours to go to a concert and watch the door and, you know,
help
that's I mean, it's a fun night out in Kodiak and also a great way to help the effort. So
yeah.
And of course, serving on the board is always a great thing. We've got
that's
some
true.
Open seats.
Actually, we do. That's right.
Of course, we know Anthony's on his way out, and so we're losing our techie guy. So if there are any techie guys out, wait a second. Aren't you a techie guy? But anyway.
I'm also a firefighter, so that's my thing that keeps me pretty busy.
Yeah.
But of course, always looking for board members who want to get involved in whatever way you can. I know that's what I've loved about being on the board, is that you usually don't find me behind the mic because I'm very bashful. And so I usually help out where I can behind the scenes. And you don't have to necessarily be a radio person.
No.
To,
we have lots of different
contribute.
Things. Yeah. Cece and I were talking about that, too, that... all of those events that we do, we need a ton of volunteers to pull those events off. So it takes a lot of effort to put on a bear crawl. And boy, I was trying to count the number of volunteers that we had for that. So, I was going to say, okay. So I think we had like 30 people involved in just the bear crawl.
Yeah, set up and then running it and then cleaning up. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And you
it
know,
takes a while.
Yeah, if you're handy, you don't want to swing a hammer or just stand there and, you know, to help point people in the right direction to go. You know, there's no job too small at the station to help out with.
There are a lot of jobs. And we'll actually be putting together the bear crawl stuff here before too long. That's June 18th.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this year. I mean, every year it's been getting, you know, like geometrically better. More
yes.
people are coming out, cooler obstacles, and, you know, just my favorite part, of course, watching the kids do it. Yeah. I'd come out just to see, you know, 75 kids run through the mud at high speeds. You
know? I know. And we had a bundle of kids doing that last year. And then we also had, what did we have? We're trying to move more of the obstacles into the center of the track
so
people can see it happening. And we've kind of got some plans for a few extra things this year. So
I want to start including smoke blowing across, you know, where people have to run through fog, or, you know, explosions going off. We can set up some noisemakers or something like that.
Okay,
you know, when you
so
go through the mud.
You're going to be in charge of that.
Pyrotechnics.
Right? Yes, pyrotechnics.
And or even if we brought out the fire truck, we could do a water curtain. You know, they go through the mud and then they run through a water curtain and get rinsed off or something. You know, that'd be kind of...
Well, actually, you know, we were talking about the fact that we kind of need some sort of way for those poor kids to clean up.
Yeah.
Well, poor kids, it's the adults.
Right.
You know, that was what was funny. We all thought the kids would love the mud pit.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are the ones who prance their way through it and try
not
to get
dirty. Well, because they think their parents are going to yell at them. They're like, I've been told my whole life not to get in the mud. I'm not about to mess up now.
That's right. And the parents are diving into the mud and having a great time.
Yeah.
It was funny. So, We have your music here.
Okay.
Great.
So let's talk about your concert experience.
Right. So I'm obviously not old enough to ever seen the Beatles, but
wait a minute. We're supposed to tell that just by the sound of your voice.
Don't we have youthful voices?
I remember when I saw the Beatles.
Okay. All right. Be careful.
No,
be careful.
No, but you know, so this was, I was 10 years old and living in a very small rural town in New Mexico called Roswell, which no one's ever heard of. And but at that time, no one had ever heard of the town. And it's not on any major highways or anything like that. And so, really, there wasn't a lot of live music or anything. I think the town maybe had like 12,000 people in it, small rural town. And they had this band called Beatlemania, which is like a impersonation, whatever, tribute mm-hmm. band, they mm-hmm. I guess they would call themselves. And they actually dressed fully in the garb of the Beatles, shaggy haircuts and everything. I don't know if they were fake British accents, but they had British accents. And my parents took me to it for whatever reason. They thought it'd be good for me. And it was at the in Roswell. There's a campus of a military college called NIMI, New Mexico mm-hmm. Military Institute, and they have this big brick hall where they give speeches or whatever. But in this case, they had the Beatlemania guys in there, and I remember. And 28 years later, I'm remembering going there with my parents, and we're sitting up in the balcony. And this is my first time ever seeing a live concert and rock and roll. Like, mm-hmm. I'd probably listen to the radio a little bit and things, but never actually seeing perform it, because they actually perform it live. They're not like lip syncers or anything
right.
And it was just crazy, Like, great, obviously, classic music. And to me, it was new music, of course. And then the most amazing thing to me, though, was my mother apparently was a big Beatles fan when she was younger. And who knows, like, how old she was, because even the really young girls like the Beatles, whatever. And in the middle of the concert, she just screams at the top of her lungs, "I love you, Paul," down to the thing. And the Paul tribute guy says, "Oh, that's a good love," or something like that. And she almost fainted that she was talking to,
the guy who was pretending to be Paul.
Yeah. And, I had never seen my mother like that. My mother is very, motherly or whatever. And here she is. She's a teenage girl again, watching the Beatles perform live or whatever.
And just screaming.
And so, that was sort of an eye-opening experience. And I don't know if that's why, but ever since then, I've always, loved the Beatles. And, some people have criticized them, they're poppy or something like mm-hmm. that, or four chords, or I don't know, whatever things you say. But really, you can't argue with their success.
Oh, yeah.
And, whatever they came up with, in their composition, just is timeless. Same thing, you'll listen to Beethoven, 300 years later, you're going to be listening to the Beatles 300 years later.
Probably.
So the thing I really enjoyed most about the Beatles is this was me and Lindsay and I, we went to Las Vegas and saw the Cirque du Soleil Love performance,
mm-hmm.
And actually George Harrison is the producer of that.
Really?
And yeah, so he's like, it's completely like Beatles sanctioned, and they completely remastered all the songs, from the original vocal tracks and all that, and made it the way they would have made it from the beginning. And then they basically, it's like a live, reenactment of what's happening in the songs, like what was going on.
Mm.
And they follow the Beatles songs through the eras. So when they played the first songs, they were from post-World War II Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets into like the love culture and all these changes in rock and roll and all the way down through where they ended up. And the visuals are ridiculous. And I could tell any person, unreservedly, if you ever have a chance to see this show, go see it. Like, I didn't really want to see Cirque du Soleil in general, because I see guys in leotards doing acrobatics.
Right.
This is nothing like that. This is just the most awesome theatrical performance
you've
ever
amazing.
Seen. In your life.
It's amazing. I've never heard of this.
It was, yeah.
And they thought so much into it. Like, for example, every single seat in the house is a good seat. Every single seat has 7 speakers built into the seats. So
wow.
you know there's no bad sound. And then they have the house sounds and everything's engineered. So everywhere
wow.
you sit, the sound is just so wonderful. And they interact with the audience and everything. It's just amazing. So what we brought in was some songs from that actual Love album.
Yeah. And we actually brought his parents to that as well.
Oh, you
they're currently
yeah.
living in Vegas. And so it was a nice treat.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about Beatlemania concert and
that
whole
story. Or the Paul incident.
Yeah.
Should we call it the Paul
yeah.
incident?
But she was, wasn't quite as vocal, but seemed just as excited to see the
There
love.
May have been some moist eyes by the end of that.
That's pretty amazing
yeah.
to What a great show to produce.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, mind-blowing. Like, usually you can't blow your mind with, like, that much. But, yeah, the start with the one.
With
one?
I thought yeah. That was the one that okay. The last one.
Okay. Okay, here we go.
Because the world is round, it turns me on. Because the world is round. Because the wind is high, it blows my mind. Because the wind is high. Love is old, love is new. Love is old, love is you. Because the sky is blue, it makes me cry.
That's a bird outside. We thought the track was still playing. That's funny. So you were telling me while we were listening to the music about just sort of the staging and the technical side of this. It sounds like an amazing thing.
Yeah, the amount of thought, you know, that went into this to make it come off by including the original remaining Beatles to help actually come up with the music, and then the technical side I mentioned about how the sound in the room is so perfect, and I don't want to ruin it for anyone who might go, but in the very, very beginning you walk in and it's a completely circular theater, mm-hmm. and you're looking down onto the stage, and the stage itself can rotate, raise, lower. It's all hydraulics. There's water. There's all these stage props, people riding bicycles, like you can't even
amazing,
like,
effects.
Yeah, and they kind of spoof on the Sgt. Pepper theme. If you've seen the album cover, there's like all the different people and
right,
all the different,
right.
Like, they have everyone dressed up like the Sgt. Pepper people.
Oh, cool.
During the thing. So yeah, I would go see it again in a second, and not even in, I just say take my wallet.
Not ask any questions.
Exactly.
Just say I'm here. Take
and
my
even
money.
When you go in, it's set up like a big movie theater, and they have all kinds of like a gift shop where you can buy Beatles memorabilia and
cool.
big like light up disco walls and stuff. It's just, you know, like, even if you're not if you think the Beatles are all right, you'll love that.
Yeah. You should
it's
like
just
the show.
So powerful. I mean, even the music, of course, is amazing, and we love the Beatles. But even just the performances by the dancers or acrobatics mm-hmm. or performers is just beautiful, you know. And some of it was very upbeat and kind of cheesy and mm-hmm. fun. But then there were some performances that were just, you really, you had tears in your eyes by mm-hmm. the end of it, just very beautiful. And so, yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, one of the things they do, too, is they don't have any Beatle impersonators. There's no one on the stage who is dressed like a Beatle. The Beatles mm-hmm. are never
That's
seen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they'll have, like, sometimes they'll have a little segue in between the songs, and they'll have, like, shadows on the wall. And you'll hear the Beatles talking in the background, like joking with each other. Yeah, their silhouettes. And they're like, oh, come on, buddy, let's go down. You know, they're saying all this funny British talk stuff. And then it'll cut into the next song. So they don't, I think that's kind of powerful to say.
That is
powerful.
We're
not going to pick people and have them lip sync or pretend to be Beatles or anything like that.
That's very cool.
That's true. I forgot about that.
I would like to see that show just for all the staging and the effects. And it sounds very powerful.
You know what, Jason, just, I'm going to use the wrong terminology, but I've just got a new phone. Again, a techie guy. And with the phone he got, what is it called?
Well, it's like a VR goggle thing.
It's the virtual reality where you put them on, the goggles on, and I thought this is ridiculous. But then I put it on, and it wasn't that show, but it was a Cirque du Soleil, few minutes.
Like a teaser sort of thing.
Yeah. Sure. So we want to track down the actual show because, and we felt like we were sitting on the stage, and so it was a nice little reminder of just how unbelievable it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's of all the experiences of my life, like, not to be, like, sentimental about it, it was probably one of the coolest things I've ever done, like sober, without having to put anything in my body to make me see.
Yep.
Like there's a scene where they're like there's children on a bed and they're like an orphanage or something, and so this is down in the very middle, like 40, 50 feet down to the stage from where we are, and the thing starts going in the air and all these people come in and they're like grabbing the sheets of the bed and they start pulling it out and it's like they're untucking the sheets, but then the sheets keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the table or the bed starts going up in the air and like rotating, and then they start walking up the aisles holding
those sheets.
The sheets, and so now it's like a ginormous parachute, and they're rippling it, and so it looks like you're in the clouds. I mean, it's like
cool.
When will you ever see that?
Cirque du Soleil is just magnificent. Yeah. So that must just be an amazing.
The minds
show.
That come up with I mean, I can't even.
Yeah.
Can't
the visualization you have to have to be able to even think about that. Right. What an imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. What's our next song?
Well, so the next one is I bought the album for this and there's like 27 tracks, but I wanted to pick the ones that people maybe aren't the poppiest of the Beatles songs. I mean, most of them are popular, but they're actually kind of more sentimental, you know. And that's what I really thought was kind of nice. So I grabbed a few like that. This next one is Yesterday.
Okay. Starts with Blackbird.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. Love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Mm-hmm.
this, to segue on yesterday, the fact that this was going on, Lindsay mentioned, hey, do you really want to talk about a concert you've been to? And I started thinking really hard about concerts I've been to, and it kind of made me realize something. It's like concert, I don't think they're as cool as they used to be. You know, like for our era, you know, my millennials or whatever. Like I went to a Ozfest and saw Limp Bizkit. I'm never gonna later on, when I'm 65 or whatever, tell my kids I saw Limp Bizkit. You know, I'm never gonna be proud that I saw Limp Bizkit.
True.
You know? And so, you know, I was talking to one of my coworkers, and he was talking about he saw Johnny Cash play. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you saw Johnny Cash, you know? And is that happening? I don't know. I didn't listen to all these things, but did anybody impress you with something that was like a modern, like within the last decade artist that you actually were like, wow, you saw that guy? Or was it more like, of course you saw him because they do 25 different commercial experiences and blah, blah, blah?
No, I can't say. Yeah. I mean, but I'm older, so I'm more impressed with the older stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm not, you know, as old as, the, you know, to have seen a Johnny Cash thing.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
To me, like, I know that he is, like, you know, a godfather of, like, country music and, you know, all that stuff. And so I had to reach really far to find something that, like, I'd be proud to have said I saw, you know?
But it could just be, you know, that we're spoiled. And, you know, I mean, we were talking about the Beatles before we came in, and he had done some trivia, which we'll share later. But he had mentioned that the Beatles, I question if that was true, but he claims that the Beatles were the first to perform in an arena.
Yeah, like actually take a sports stadium and fill it up with their fans.
And that's so common now. I mean, it's not
that's
a big deal.
That's where you see shows most of the time now. So there are a lot of them.
And I'm, you know, I don't want to, obviously they're all Johnny Cash and the Beatles and are all amazing artists, but it could just be that we've kind of become used to this, you know, spectacular type of performance.
Showmanship.
That it's a little harder to impress us anymore.
You're so jaded.
Yeah.
You're so jaded.
We just get our music on demand anytime.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to get it. I was reading one bit of trivia about the Beatles is that in the USSR, they loved the Beatles, but there were, you know, they weren't allowed to bring it in. And so they actually developed a technique to take x-rays, you know, the paper that an x-ray comes on, to actually engrave those with music. And they would
like
use
vinyl.
They would take the x-ray paper, and they called it bone albums.
Cool.
And so, you know, you'd see, like, someone's hand or whatever, but then it was engraved with the, and that's how they could listen to the Beatles.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, geez. Now you'd be like, you know, I had to use a pirated, you know, backdoor, whatever, to get some music that I couldn't get through the store or something.
Well, I think there's some truth to that because music was, it was expensive when I was young. You know, to buy an album was something you actually thought about. Mike was talking earlier about the old Columbia House stuff where you became a member and part of your membership was getting 12 albums or 20 albums off the bat. And then they sucked you in every month, you know. But that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And you didn't just go out and buy a boatload of records when you were a kid like you buy a boatload of iTunes now, you know. It's a different thing. And music is so much more available now, especially with all the streaming stuff. It's cool, but it does sort of take away some of that special feeling that you get when you're, you know, you're like, wow, I own that.
Yeah, so now, like, you know? If you were maybe saying a completely unbiased music person, would you say the golden age of music was the Johnny Cash Beatles era, or now we're in the golden age because we have music on demand and small artists and all these things that are happening?
You know, I don't know that you could actually call a golden age of music because, I mean, you could go back to the Baroque era and say it was the golden age of music because I think as long as the creativity is there I love the availability of music now because it is available to virtually anyone who wants to listen. There's things on the airwaves, there are radios everywhere, there are, you know. So I think, boy, I'd have a hard time.
Yeah. As long as people are still being creative and putting out new and exciting things, it's hard to...
That's the golden part of it.
Well, maybe it's golden if you're the artist because you can get, you know, you can publish yourself, but it's like a little more difficult if you're actually the listener, because that's one great thing that using like radio and things like that for is they sort of vet the music for, I can't remember the word is, curate the music for you. And so for me, I was talking to Lindsay, I love music, but I never want to be the guy with 10,000 songs on my hard drive because I'm overloaded.
Right.
And so to say, okay, I'm going to turn on the radio and I know that person is way more into it than I am and they're going to pick for me.
True.
And I get to hear True. Of that. And so that's something good with what, you know, you might say the legacy stuff.
Yeah. Well, and even, I mean, we have new artists sending us CDs all the time. So part of what I think public radio does is helps some of those artists that are not maybe on the mainstream, mm-hmm. the indie artists, the et cetera, sort of reach out to a broader audience that might be a public radio audience.
Right, because not owned by a major corporation that owns 300 different radio stations that's got Payola and all that stuff.
Right,
to push
so
the latest Katy Perry album or something.
Yes,
right?
you're getting something a little different, and you're getting what your community members like to listen to. So it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. It's a different way to go.
No offense to Katy Perry.
She's got so much money, she doesn't care if I offend her.
What's our next song?
So the next one is super famous. Well, everything is. But the part I really like is just the intro. Mm-hmm. When you hear it, it's just you instantly feel like you're being taken somewhere, like magically. So the next one is With and Without You and Tomorrow Never Knows.
Turn off your mind, relax and float downstream. It is not dying.
What's our next story?
So the next song is actually probably the theme song of Kodiak. And
you think?
Also, it was when Lindsay and I just got married about 2 years ago, and we had to pick out songs for like our. I had to dance with my mom, and she had to dance with her dad, and then we danced together, you know. So
it's
my song, I couldn't think of what song I wanted to dance.
It's a thing, yeah.
I want to, you know, as is tradition. So I had to think of something that would be that my mom would like to dance to, and you know, most of my music is more like, you know, shake a leg music, and not necessarily you know, a nice soft dance too.
And he wasn't wanting anything too like mushy gushy.
Yeah,
you know,
or risque or something like that.
Yeah, I know that'd be weird with your mom.
Yeah. I don't want any Oedipus related songs to be played.
No.
But was it Neil who recommended this? My brother-in-law?
I think he did, yeah.
He was like, well, how about this song? Just obviously. Because he has a master's degree in music or something. He's like, well, of course this song. And I'm like, of course that song.
Yeah. It'll work
and so,
just fine.
The song, of course, was Here Comes the Sun.
There we go.
Just, I'm the sun. So, so
he and, really loved that play on words.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and every time, Cody Atkins are driving down the street and all of a sudden the sun comes out for even like 5 minutes, you think, oh, here comes the sun.
All right, so here's our theme song for Kodiak.
Sun. Some sun not necessarily included, some assembly required.
Good. All right. So I'm here with Jason Wagoner and Lindsay Howell. And we're kind of reliving some Beatles memories, but some Cirque du Soleil memories in particular, the show, the Cirque du Soleil show. What was the name of the show?
Love.
Love. Oh, yeah, that's right. Love.
All about.
It's all you need.
Yeah, very good. Clever.
Wise man once said, all you need is love.
So you picked up a bunch of Beatles trivia as you were doing some research for this. You want to tell us some Beatles trivia?
Start with the one that you asked me earlier.
Okay. So, and I don't know if some people are supposed to call in, but the Beatles, they had a whole period of time. Well, they started out as like the clean cut. Well, they wore suits.
Right.
And then they
right.
had like their hippie slash love slash drugs era. And then they, you know, kind of straightened out, came professional, or whatever. But during that heat of the drug era, who actually introduced them to marijuana, which is now legal in the state of Alaska. So no shame, but
If you
know the answer to that, just call Joel at 486-3181. We just want to see if anybody knows the answer.
Don't Google
to that.
It.
No. Don't cheat.
That's another thing with the change in eras. When I was younger, I would listen to the radio and I'd want to call in, mm-hmm. and you actually had to know it.
Yeah.
You kind of just look it up in 10 seconds.
Unless you had an encyclopedia, you might be.
Yeah. Very difficult. So now, when you sometimes I'll listen to other radio station or two, and they'll ask a question that's very generic, like 37% of women say they do this every morning. It's like, there's no way you can Google that and get exactly the right thing. And so it's just throwing spaghetti against the wall. I think that maybe they do it as is tradition. But nowadays, if you want to know who was the first person to hand a left-handed cigarette to the Beatles, you could find out.
Yeah. Who that
Unless
was.
Your work.
Yeah. All right. So we'll wait for a phone call on that. And let's talk about the next song.
All right. So... the next song actually is kind of, I've actually heard this a couple times today because at one of the Super Bowls, Prince played it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he just passed away. So when you listen to the song, you can listen to the Beatles version, but also, you know, remember Prince, who was with us in this song, is While My Guitar Gently Weeps by George Harrison.
Who's an amazing, who was an amazing guitar player?
The Quiet Beatle, they called him.
Prince was an amazing guitar player too. So, all right, here we go.
We
at the play you are staging, while my guitar gently weeps as I'm sitting here doing nothing but aging. Still my guitar gently weeps.
Talking about great music.
We were talking about great music.
And what's the David Dye does a song?
David Dye does a song?
Or a show on
World Cafe.
World Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
That has some really good live music. Like, that's all played in the studio, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he has concerts in the studio.
Every time I hear that, that's a good, like, band I've never heard of that mm-hmm. are great. And I was wondering, like, you know, probably we were talking about the music of the 70s, you remember all those really good songs, but mm-hmm. is it because you remember all the really good ones and then, like, the 10,000 other ones that just were bad? So it's like a big filter has gone through. And so now we see all the music.
Maybe.
Now we think, well, our music is very watered down. But 20 years from now, only the very, very best of our music
will, like, still be playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's a good point.
Like the Macarena. It's always going to be around.
It's always going to be amazing, right?
You know, it's always going to get played at bar mitzvahs.
Bar mitzvahs everywhere. No, it's the chicken dance at every wedding in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah, we tried to, we told our band, we had a live band actually, and we told them absolutely
no chicken dance, no electric slide,
but then we realized that our guests really wanted it, so
of course.
We had to give in.
So. Give them what they want.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing as trivia I was going to bring up is that, I don't know if that people don't know this, but I didn't know this, is that the Beatles actually did not really like playing live, like concerts. They hated it, actually, because if you watch the, you know, the newsreel footage,
nobody can hear them.
No one can hear them.
Yeah.
You know, they actually were musicians that wanted to make good music and play it. And if all they hear is like 10,000 screaming 17-year-old women or whatever, you can't hear what they're doing. They can't hear what they're doing. And, you know, maybe it's good for their career and they're making money, but they're not being musicians. And,
right.
Mm-hmm.
I even read the little gross out trivia here was that at those concerts, you know, the girls were so excited. I mean, you can see a little bit, you know, of them passing out and mm-hmm, screaming and all that stuff. Well, actually, the people who would, like, help put on these shows back in that day, they said the most thing they'll remember the most from the whole concerts was the smell of urine.
Oh.
That these young girls would be so excited, they would pee.
Oh, man.
In pure ecstaticness. And there'd be, like, puddles on the ground.
Wow.
And, like, that is... Now, imagine you're the Beatle and you're up there and these girls are, like, freaking out and it's like, oh, it doesn't smell very good. I can't hear anything.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the studio. Put together...
And produce something awesome.
Yeah, produce something awesome. So.
Yeah. Hmm. Amazing.
Yeah.
So, nobody called in with an answer. So, tell us...
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan.
And I actually was impressed with myself. I guessed it.
You are a bit of a Dylan fan.
Yeah. It was a possible discussion topic we were going to have of that concert, but...
Right.
Have to do that one, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
but he said that Dylan would be the one to corrupt.
And he didn't know that they had never done it before. He wouldn't have done it to him if he hadn't known. But I guess in the song "I Want to Hold Your Hand," they say, "I can't hide, I can't hide." But it kind of sounds like I got high is what it sounds like. And so he thought that they get high, and so he just passed it over or whatever, and they, you know, just grabbed it and went. Bob Dylan, why not? You know, but.
It's got to be safe.
Yeah. Bob Dylan endorsed.
Dylan does it.
Yeah. And he's a great musical artist, so apparently.
Maybe we'll catch something.
Yeah. Although, was he big at that period of time? Like, was Bob Dylan wasn't big from the beginning, like, huge, right?
He was pretty big. Mm. I mean, he was gaining ground.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And always very hip.
Though, right.
You know, like, the kind of guy that you'd want to be hanging out with.
Okay.
Says the true Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can call me the true. I saw him in Cleveland in, what, 2007, maybe? So
wow.
I wasn't in the, you know.
The prime.
Bob Dylan era.
Bob Dylan, yeah.
He's still out there, but.
Yeah, out there might be. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what's our next tune?
Probably one of my favorites, other than, you know, Here Comes the Sun being a Kodiak, and is Hey Jude.
Hey Jude. Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it.
Everybody sing along now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good stuff. We were all singing along.
We were.
Luckily, we don't have it on video. It would be held against us.
Yeah, that would not be good.
Or we could get very famous, like the dancing dog guy.
The dancing dog?
Doc.
Doc.
Oh, the dancing fisherman. No.
That is pretty amazing, actually.
He's much more skilled than we are.
Three radio people dance to Hey Jude. 10 million hits.
No thanks. You guys can do that when I'm out of the room, okay? So thank you very much for being on the air with us.
Thank you.
Jason and Lindsay, it's been fun. So let's talk about the last song we have as we go out. We're going to switch out here and go to our next guest. But we've got one more song that we'll play while we're doing that.
All right, so this next one is the only song that we didn't choose from the Love soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
We actually chose it because it was the song that we played at our wedding. We were debating on what the right word was, but it's when our ceremony's
the
over
recessional.
And we're recessional?
Mm-hmm.
But when we're walking down the aisle back, you know, to finish up the ceremony. And so we had a harpist, very classy, but decided that we would walk out to All You Need Is Love. So we're going to go ahead and play that, but on the harp.
All right. Thanks again, you guys.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.